La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to the 25th episode of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or another platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. And we're excited to share that the show can now be found each week on iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe, rate the show, and write a brief review.
Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with junior Holly Main of the women's water polo team. She fills us in on what it was like to win a national junior lifeguard championship, more than a dozen of them, in fact. Holly grew up playing water polo, but she came to UC San Diego to be a rower. So how did she end up walking onto the Tritons water polo team? Confused? Well, she'll tell us how an injury helped make that happen. And we'll also put Holly on the hot seat for our popular quick pick segment. Our conversation with Holly Main comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. After more than 9 months, we've got games to talk about. The men's and women's basketball teams are both scheduled to open their season this weekend at RE/MAC Arena. While you can't join us in person this season, you can stream all the action wherever you are. Find ESPN3 broadcast information and live watch links on UCSDTritons.com.
Such an exciting time. I can't wait to see them hit the court again. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego water polo junior and Los Angeles County lifeguard, Holly Main.
Holly, what's your first memory of being in the ocean?
I would have to say it was probably with my dad at Silver Strand Beach in Oxnard, California, which is like just north of where I grew up.
That's very specific. Do you remember about how old you were?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I was probably in the ocean when I was younger, but I would say I was like 5 at that time when it was the first time he like put me on a surfboard, I think.
Oh my goodness. And did you get the hang of that pretty quickly?
I mean, yeah, I have pictures. I think that's probably why I remember that specific time, is because we have a bunch of pictures of me like standing up for the first time at that like young age.
Were you at that age, were you already a good swimmer, or was that what you were figuring out?
I think we were kind of figuring that out. I actually learned how to swim when I was like 3. So I was pretty young. I remember I wanted to learn when my older sister started learning, and my parents were like, okay, well, we'll just give it a try. So it's always a joke in my family that I learned how to swim before I could really walk or run, but obviously that's not true, but I was definitely swimming at a really young age.
That makes for a great story, at least. Where did your love for the water come from? It sounds like you were kind of put in the water at birth or close.
Yeah, I think it mostly came from my dad. He grew up surfing and playing water polo and swimming. He still swims and he still surfs and still plays masters water polo. So that's definitely something I would say I got from him. And it's just something we've always done together, and we still do it together.
Now, that's fantastic. How old were you, or when did you begin playing water polo?
I started playing in 5th grade, so I think I was about 11.
And were you competing in other sports at that time?
Yes. So I was playing volleyball at that time, and then I think soccer and basketball I might have just stopped playing. I played volleyball for most of my water polo career. Actually, I stopped my sophomore year of high school. So I was always playing volleyball on the side, but I didn't play club or anything. It was just kind of with the high school and like for fun. And then I also swam, of course.
And was that indoor volleyball or beach?
Indoor. But my dad was actually a good beach player growing up. So sometimes we'd play at the beach, but that was more my sister. She took the volleyball route. I went water polo.
You mentioned swimming as well. How did you balance all of that?
It was tough. I would say I definitely, it it was just kind of what I did. Like, you know, instead of going out on the weekends or going shopping or like things like that, it was like I had practice and I knew that I had practice and it was, that's where all my friends were. So I just didn't really see it any other way.
And was it your intent at some point, maybe in high school or later, to start to specialize in one sport, or did you enjoy kind of the well-rounded little bit of everything?
I definitely knew that I wanted to play water polo in college. But I did, my freshman year is kind of, that's why I stopped. Going into my sophomore year, I had a shoulder injury. And so basically my doctors were like, you have to choose one that you're going to do. And I, that's kind of why I had to stop the other sports as much, just because it was an overuse injury and I couldn't afford, you know, like the extra hits with the volleyball on my right arm, which is my shooting arm for water polo. So that's kind of why I had to stop.
And did that injury limit you in water polo?
I would say yes. I actually have kind of an interesting story here. So I kind of, after that injury, it took me a while to like get back to where I was, and I had trouble, you know, like gaining confidence back. And I think it was maybe the end of my sophomore or junior year, I got a little tired of trying to get back to where I was. It seemed like I wasn't really getting back there. And I was getting more into my lifeguard competitions. And there was a girl on my swim team who rowed for UC San Diego. And we competed together on relays for like CIF finals and stuff like that. So she was a very talented swimmer. And she got recruited by UC San Diego to row. And she approached me my junior year and said, or maybe it was my senior year. Sorry, I can't really remember. But basically she approached me and said, like, you know, if you're ever interested in trying something new, the rowing coaches like would be interested. You should talk to them, send them an email. And so I did that. I reached out to them and I'm not sure if they were more interested in my water polo, like stats and stuff like that, or my lifeguarding stuff, which would involved a surf ski, which is in some ways similar to the boat that you use for rowing. But basically I emailed them and they were the ones who got me into UC San Diego. And so I rowed my freshman year and then it just wasn't really something that I loved. It was honestly the most challenging thing, the most challenging sport I've ever tried. And I would say that I was successful on it, but it just wasn't something that my body could really handle. And so then I walked on to the water polo team my sophomore year.
That is fascinating. We'll come back to the lifeguard championships in a little bit, but I want to stick with this. So when you chose UC San Diego, it sounds like at least in part, it was to come here and row. Is that something you had done previously?
No, I had never done it before, but apparently that's common in rowing, but especially in college, they get a lot of walk-ons. So I was basically what they called like a glorified walk-on. So I was part of the recruiting class, but I was a recruit who had never played the sport. So I remember I took an official visit and everything. I stayed down here and I was with other recruits who had rowed, and they were like, oh, what seat are you, or what do you do? And I was like, oh, I've never done this. And they were like, oh, cool. Like it seemed like they were kind of used to it. And I would say most of the team, maybe half, I don't know, might not be that many people, but a lot of the girls were actually walk-ons on the rowing team.
Yeah, that is very common in that sport. You're right. So when you chose to come to UC San Diego, did you have it in the back of your mind that you might want to return to water polo?
No, I honestly did not think about that. I thought I was going to be a rower all 4 years, and I thought that would be that. And then I kind of had a small injury with my back my freshman year of rowing, and they started introducing like swim therapy for my back because it was just easier on my joints and everything down there, just because you're floating, you're in the water and there's no gravity pushing down on you or like causing any pain. And so I got back into the pool and I was like, oh, wow, I kind of missed this. Like, this is something I used to do every day and something I used to do with my dad. And my best friends were all still playing water polo at like their separate colleges. And I was like, you know what? Like, that was always a dream of mine. And I kind of gave up on it. Not completely, but it just, you know, the rowing opportunity presented itself. And I thought it was a great opportunity to try something new. And so I took it. And then I never even thought about going back to water polo until I kind of ran into this wall. And I was like, you know what? That was something I really loved to do. And I wasn't bad at it. So I might as well try to go back and, you know, meet a new group of friends. And it just turned into the best thing that I could have ever done.
That's fantastic. And obviously, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I do want to back up. You touched on your decision to come to UC San Diego, but take us through that recruiting process and your own process to decide on where you wanted to go to school. What was that like?
So basically, I sent this email to the UC San Diego coaches about rowing, and I said who had recommended me to email them and everything like that. And they were really quick to reply and offer me an official visit. So I looked into it a little more and I basically found that other schools were willing to do this too. So I emailed a few other schools and like LMU, SDSU, and USD were all able to essentially offer me the same spot on their team. They could get me into the school and I could row for them without scholarship, but it would still be getting into the school. And so I went on a trip to San Diego State, and then LMU and USD were just financially not really, it was expensive. So basically I was between SDSU and UCSD, and just because of my background in the ocean, I think UCSD was the obvious choice. I mean, I lived in the Muir College dorms, and that's literally right across the street from Black's Beach and a short drive down to Scripps and La Jolla Shores. So I think that was ultimately why I chose the school.
And is that why you selected Muir?
Yes, I remember looking on the map of the college with my dad. We looked on like Google Maps or something and we zoomed in and I said, okay, which dorms are closest to the beach? And he zoomed in, figured it out and said, there's a path right across the street. You cross the street there, go down this little alley, and then you can walk down the hill to Black's Beach. And that is how I chose Muir College.
I love that. Holly Main is our guest this week on TritonCast. So you told us how you ended up at UC San Diego and you started rowing as a freshman. You had the injury. You're rehabbing in the pool. What was your thought process? And you said you enjoyed being back in the pool. But what was your thought process in trying to make the transition to walk onto the water polo team?
I knew it was going to be very challenging. I watched the team play many times my freshman year because, as I said, it was a sport that I loved. And so I wanted to go support the team. And so basically I knew that I would need to get back into water polo shape and not just swim shape. So I actually not technically joined the club water polo team, but I attended a few practices with them. They were really nice to me and basically heard me out and offered me a temporary spot on their team. So I would go to those practices. They were late at night. I think we ended at like 10:30 or something. And I would have to wake up for rowing still at like 4 a.m. So I was that was a tough spot. It was the end of my freshman year. Finals, everything, the stress of that, and then trying to just find any time in the pool with a water polo ball that I could. And of course, there were like eligibility things. I couldn't go to too many club water polo practices because there's a limit to that with eligibility and using a year of eligibility if you go to too many practices with a club team. So it was a difficult process. And then in the summer, I work full-time as a lifeguard, so I couldn't be down here practicing with the team. like Coach Brad had offered me. So I actually went and played masters with my dad in Ventura. And that was something I had done throughout high school. So I knew most of the people there. It definitely wasn't the level of college play, and we used a men's ball. So it was a bit, rough, but, it was definitely better than nothing.
You mentioned that you needed to, as you were wanting to make the transition, that you needed to get into water polo shape. What does that mean?
Well, that is something the team is currently going through right now. So just the past 9 months, you know, we were kind of out of the pool for 7, getting back into shape for 2. And now, starting this past week, we started contact again. So basically we're getting tested twice a week, making sure that we're all super safe. And basically water polo is someone is drowning you, you're drowning someone, and you're swimming back and forth and there's no rest. And that is just very different from what we were doing, in the months leading up to this. Basically we couldn't touch each other. We weren't allowed to, you know, sink each other and take the breath away from the other person. And now it's full contact, and it's like wrestling in the water with a ball, and it's just a lot more going on and a lot more tiring.
What's your favorite part about playing the sport now that you're back to kind of almost gameplay?
Honestly, I love the swimming aspect and like counterattacks. I would say that is my favorite part. And sprinting, I grew up on every team that I was on, I was usually the sprinter. So that it was kind of like my big thing growing up. I don't think I ever lost a sprint. Definitely not in high school. And then club, I think maybe one or two here and there. But for the most part, that was kind of my strong suit. And then I would say there were a few games that Coach Brad put me in just to win the sprint in case we were like in a situation where if we lost the sprint, we would be down a player and stuff like that. So I would say that like sprinting and counterattacking is definitely my favorite part of the sport.
And in terms of swimming, is there an event or events that would best prepare one to play water polo?
That's a tough topic. I think a lot of people have different opinions on that. Personally, I like 50s and 100s just because they're quick. It's like either 2 laps or 4 laps in a pool. And that is like when I can go the fastest, you know, 50 is as fast as I can go, 2 laps, that's it. And I prefer shorter swim sets like that. But for endurance, which you would need in a game that has 4 quarters that are 8 minutes long each. And it's just this battle and you need endurance for that. So a lot of coaches use 200s for that, which is 8 laps in a pool. And those are painful, which I know if any swimmers are going to come on here and listen to this, they're swimming the mile, you know, they're competing in the mile and they would be like, really, like this girl's talking about a 200, that's hard. But you know, it's like we're swimming in a water polo course. It's, you know, you're usually swimming from our 2 meter line to our 2 meter line. So you're not, I would say maybe like 30 meters total, maybe like 20. I don't know how long our course is that exactly, which is bad. But yeah, you're definitely, it's sprinting back and forth. So you're not, there's no need to swim like a mile or anything to train like that. But it's definitely like these quicker sets with like a short amount of rest, because that's realistically in a game, you're going to catch your breath for a second and put your head back down and swim to the other side.
That's really interesting stuff. Let's go back to last year. So you're going out for the water polo team. When did you find out that you made it?
I think it was about 6 weeks in to fall quarter. So basically Brad told me that I would have all of fall quarter to basically prove myself. And it was actually a really special moment for me. I remember he sat the team down. It was like a Friday. So we were, you know, going into the weekend and he sat everyone down and he said, okay, you know, usually we give walk-ons 10 full weeks, but, and then he kind of paused. And I remember I started crying in that moment. I was like, okay, this, I'm gone. Like, he just cut me. It's over. But then he said, like, we only needed 6 weeks to see that, like, Holly, you clearly have a spot on our team and, like, you belong to be on our team. And everyone just started, like, clapping and hugging me. And honestly, it was something that I'll remember forever. It was a really special moment.
That is really special. What a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
What was it like for the team going into last season, transitioning to the Big West Conference, really ahead of most of the athletics department, which of course made the move over this past summer?
I would say that they were honestly prepared for it. It was, I walked onto this team being like, I always thought of myself as a decent water polo player. And I walked onto this team and I'm impressed with every single person on the team. Like, they are the most talented group of girls I've ever met. And just the integrity and the endurance and the discipline that our team has, I don't think any team was really ready for it. I think we upset a lot of teams in our conference, and especially the beginning of the season. I remember, like, the Santa Barbara tournament, we had this game against Cal, and I'm not sure if I even played, probably not, as like a first year walk on. I don't think I had much playing time in that game, but that was just, in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I am so lucky to be a part of this team. These girls are so talented. And sometimes at practice, I still look around. I'm like, wow, like, I look up to all of these girls. I don't know how I'm here, like, playing D1 water polo with them, like, swimming next to them. And it just, I feel really lucky.
So I just looked it up. You did play in that match, a match that you won in 3 overtimes.
Oh, cool.
What was it like for you jumping into the pool and representing UC San Diego for the first time?
Well, I was probably sitting on the bench shaking and waiting for Brad to turn around and choose who would jump in. And I'm sure he gave me a pat on the back and said, just try your best. And I think I probably went out there and just played the best defense that I could and tried not to let any turnovers happen, obviously any goals. And I think it was just in my head, I said, okay, I'm fast enough to keep up with anyone in this pool, or at least give them a challenge. And the coach put me on a team, on the team for a reason. So don't doubt yourself. And just, if he wants to take you out, he'll pull you out. And, like, you can't cause that much harm. So that was probably what I was thinking about.
So in your first month-ish on the team, you competed against UCLA, Cal, Stanford.
Yeah.
Was that something you had envisioned?
I never thought I would know. And I remember I actually played in the UCLA game. I went in there to sprint and I won the sprint. And I remember my parents were there watching, and that was one of the first games they had seen with me, like, in a college game. And they were just so happy for me. And I was like, wow, I just went out there and did that. Like, I think when I won that sprint, I was like, obviously it's not like a huge part of water polo. I mean, it is 4 possessions in a game, like 4 extra possessions that you can win. But that was something that really, for me, I was like, okay, maybe, like, I do deserve to be on this team. And, like, I do have some purpose here. So that was something that was really special.
What an awesome memory. When COVID hit, you guys were set to take on Hawaii in what would have been the conference opener at Canyon View. 10 months later, whatever that math is, do you remember the moments leading up to that when the pandemic was starting to become a discussion and newsworthy, and then ultimately, obviously, play stopped?
Yes, I actually remember that exact day. I remember all of the talk about everything shutting down was kind of around us. And my team captain, JR, said, like, before this last practice that we didn't know was our last practice, she said, ladies, you never know what's going to happen. Just let's practice like every practice is our last. And we are all super emotional in the locker room. And then we walked out, got in the pool. It was a rainy day. It was the worst weather San Diego has ever had. And we jumped in the pool and we were all kind of emotional. And then halfway through practice, Coach Brad kind of walked away. He walked up to his office and then he came back down and he had his head down. And we were like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And he called us to the wall and he said, like, ladies, that's it. You have to get out. Like, we're done. We can't get in. We can't practice right now. We all have to get out. We're going to be out for 2 weeks. It'll be okay. We're going to come back. And then, you know, everything, we all just started crying. We got our stuff. We kind of all went our separate ways for 2 weeks. And then it was kind of time to check in. And it just turned into like, I couldn't see the end. You know, we were all just separate. No one knew when we would be back. And it was just really hard to like end something so quickly like that. And especially when your captain had said those words, like just that morning, and everyone was kind of, it was just so unexpected. And it was bittersweet that, you know, those were the last words that our captain said that day.
And what about for your teammates who were seniors? And so suddenly again, this was it for them. And you didn't know at the time that that was it.
Yeah, I think that was something that I really tried to keep in mind. I was like, you know what, Holly, like, you have two more years after this. Like, the seniors, it was just so sad. There were only three seniors last year. And JR, our captain this year, actually came back. And it definitely would not be the same without her back. She's one of our best players. She's really happy, always motivating everyone. And it definitely would not be the same without her. And then the other two were goalies. So we lost two goalies also. And I just remember being so sad for them because it was, you know, everyone, we've all played this sport for so long and that's just not the ending that anyone expected or deserved. And there was just nothing anyone could really do about it. So it was definitely really sad.
And at that time, the university moved to remote classes for spring quarter. Did you go back home?
Yes, I did go back home. My parents were kind of like, we don't know, like, roads could shut down, anything could happen, you know, like, we want you up here. So I did go home. And I stayed home until basically the end of September this year.
I'm sure it was an adjustment taking classes online via Zoom, which we're all now getting used to. But as a team, how did you keep in touch as a group over the summer?
We would do Zoom meetings and we actually had some Zoom practices for a while. Just like as friends, you know, I think the NCAA kind of said, no, let's not do that. And so we were doing group workouts for a while with one of our coaches. And then that was kind of like, okay, we can't do this. And then we would kind of, you know, FaceTime each other, and do some of these workouts just as friends. And then we would have meetings every once in a while as a whole team with Brad and Nikki. And that was kind of it. It was kind of sad. I remember coming back this year and just being so happy and like in shock when I saw everyone. It's like, you never realize how close you are with people until it's like, they're not there. And obviously they are there. And like, we're lucky that we're living in such a modern time when you can literally pick up the phone and call whoever you want, whenever you want. But it's just not the same as like being in practice and making a joke with everyone around you, or like kind of, I don't know, just the everyday chit chat that you aren't getting. You never realize how valuable that is.
And does that make you appreciate what you have now more in terms of being able to be together at practice, even though obviously times are not great?
Oh, definitely. That is something that I look forward to. I was talking to my roommates who are both on the water polo team too. And I was like, I really don't know what I would do without this team. Like, I wouldn't have that many great friends at San Diego or in San Diego. And like, the team, those are all my friends. Like, all of my friends at the school are from my team. So I would be really lost without them. I'd probably still be at home doing online school. And yeah, it just, it's something that, like, if I'm ever in a bad mood in the morning, I'm like, oh gosh, like, practice is going to be hard. I wish I didn't have to go today. And I just think about all of my teammates that are there and all of our reactions, you know, when something was taken away from us in March, when our whole season was taken away. And I think, like, they're all going to be there. They're all going to be trying. And we're so lucky that we're able to practice still right now.
What are practices like these days?
So basically you wake up before you leave your house or on the way to the weight room. Well, the weight room, which is now the field by Spanos.
Right.
So you wake up, you do your Smartabase app, which you upload a survey, like a symptom survey. So you have to answer if you have any symptoms or not. And then you get your green thumb, you upload it to Smartabase, and then you go to Spanos field and they check you in, make sure that you don't have symptoms, make sure you're good to go. You get a wristband. We're all wearing masks, and then we go down and work out in these little squares. It's kind of fun now. Like, at first it was weird, but now it's kind of like, okay, this is my square. Like, back up, everyone. Like, this is my area. Don't come in here. And then we all go over to the pool, and it's the same thing. We check in with Brad or Nikki at the front gate. Hand sanitizer, go change with like 4 people max in the locker room, all socially distanced, and then set up the pool. And we stand on the edge with masks on until Nikki says, okay, let's do a 200, everyone. And we all take our masks off and jump in super quickly. And that's kind of it.
So are you maskless really only when you're in the water? Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah.
I imagine you're used to it at this point, but that's got to be so strange, right?
It is. It is. Sometimes I'm scared I'm going to like dive in with my mask on because we put them on under our caps. So we try to like cap each other up before jumping in the pool. And there are some days that I am so close to jumping in and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a mask over my face. I could have literally just drowned myself.
That's crazy. And in terms of what the team is working on at practice, as we record this, there's still not certainty as to what the season will look like or when it will start. So has that affected the way you train as a team?
It definitely is. I would say when Brad gave us a talk, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. And basically he told us that, like, even though we don't have a schedule, we should be practicing as if we do, because as we've learned, everything is so quick to change. And, you know, we could go into the new year and there might be a game schedule and it's like, okay, girls, like, we're ready to go. So I think most of us, it is hard. I will say that it's really hard to, you know, when we're grinding in the pool, head down, and it's just the toughest swim set, or we're all dead tired from scrimmaging. And it's kind of like, what is this for? You know, like, those questions start popping into your head. And I think it's really easy to be like, what is it like? There's no reason. We're not playing anyone. No one's even practicing right now. But I think it's really just, if we get the chance to play, and I really hope we do, I think we are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, we can't wait to see that when that happens. Holly Main is our guest on TritonCast. Tell us about the National Junior Lifeguard Championships. What are those? How'd you get involved?
So basically, Junior Lifeguards is a program through different lifeguard agencies, like, across the country. Growing up in Southern California, I think I was very lucky because there are tons of junior lifeguard programs all up and down the California coast. And so I was part of the LA County Junior Lifeguard Division. And within that junior lifeguard program, you can choose a beach to be at. And I did mine at Zuma Beach in Malibu, just because that was closest to my house. And it's also, if anyone from LA County is listening to this, Zuma is the best beach in LA County, just because of, like, the conditions, it's known for being like this gnarly cold beach with big waves and I don't know, the toughest lifeguards. So that's kind of something I didn't really know when I first started junior lifeguards, but now as a lifeguard, I'm glad that I did it there and I'm glad that I work there because we definitely have a reputation for being really tough lifeguards. But back to the junior lifeguards. So basically my first water polo coach, actually, Craig Rond, and he coaches for CLU women's water polo. He was my first club water polo coach, my first day of practice when I was 11. And he kind of watched me play and he got to know my dad a little bit and they both talked about surfing and stuff like that. And he said, "Oh, Greg, like you should get Holly into junior lifeguards. I'm an instructor." So my first water polo coach actually turned out to be my first junior lifeguard instructor. And he coached me and instructed me basically for all of my water polo career in high school and all of my junior lifeguard career. So basically there's a little tryout swim in the pool and then you got approved to do the beach junior lifeguards. And I just, being a competitive person, I just kind of rose to the top of like the junior lifeguards. And we would have competitions at our beach, just within the beach. And I was really successful in those. And so then my instructor told my parents, "You should try to take her to regional tryouts," which is basically choosing from all of the LA County junior lifeguards, choosing a few to represent the county in the state competition, which we call like regionals. So I went and tried out and I think I was 12. No, I might've been 12 my first year, but my first year doing nationals, which I'll get into, I was 13. So I was 13 when I really started competing. So after you get selected for your county or your program, you go on to regionals. And then I was successful at regionals and they said, "Holly, you should go to nationals." And it happened to be in Manhattan Beach that year. So it was super close to home. And so I went down there with my dad and I ended up winning the distance paddle for my age group. And I remember getting ice cream after with my dad and he was so excited. He was like telling the guy that was scooping my ice cream, "Hey, my daughter's a national champion. She just won something at nationals." And he was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And like, he kind of didn't really care, but you know, my dad was so excited and I was so excited. And it was just, again, something really special that I shared with my dad. And basically from that point on, every year after that, I wanted more and I wanted to win more and I wanted to do more events. And so I went through the same process every year so from the time I was 13 to 18, basically. And then it's kind of the same as an adult lifeguard. You don't have regional tryouts. Anyone can just sign up to go to the state competition. But yeah, basically I've been doing that since I was 13 and I see myself doing it until I literally can't do it anymore. They have like master's age groups and honestly don't know what the oldest age group is, but I would say like maybe 70, maybe older than that. But yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to do forever.
That's really cool. You referenced different events. What are some of the different events and how do you train for them?
So the events that I do are the distance paddle, the Iron Woman, which is a paddle, surf ski, and swim with like running transitions. The Iron Guard, which is a swim and a paddle in one event. Run, swim, run, which is self-explanatory. The distance swim, and then there are a bunch of different relays and stuff. Oh, and the individual surf ski. And basically, you just go in the ocean and play around. I've had a lot of training from like a coach who is specific to like surf ski and the paddle boards that we use. And he always taught me that you just have to sit in the impact zone, which is kind of like where the waves are breaking and where it's like the hardest to get out. And you basically sit there and practice getting out over the waves in whatever craft you're on or in. And that's kind of how you become the best, because ultimately it's who can get in and out of the surf the fastest is kind of who is the most successful at these surf life-saving competitions. Once you're out past the surf, it's kind of like everyone might be the same speed going around the buoys and stuff like that, but it really is inside the surf zone that kind of makes or breaks your competition.
And so training at Zuma, you mentioned that was a pretty tough spot. Was that an advantage for you?
I think that definitely was an advantage. We have some of the biggest surf in the county. I mean, not necessarily just the biggest surf, but it's also like the way that waves break at Zuma. Especially recently, our beach is kind of sloped on one end. And so it creates like this shore pound type waves. And so it's really hard to get out in a surf ski sometimes. And I think definitely just taking a beating at that beach so many times has just made me line up at any competition and have probably more confidence than I should. But, you know, I think that is key when you can't hesitate. And that's the biggest thing in like these races is that you cannot hesitate. And that's definitely something I learned at Zuma Beach specifically is like, if you hesitate and you're just a second late, you're going to go over the falls or you're going to fall off your board and lose your board and you're going to be swimming in and it just turns into a mess. So I think that is something really important that I've learned from these competitions is like to never hesitate and to always stick with your gut.
I know you've gotten to travel a lot with these competitions. You have a favorite place or places you've been?
So I on these teams, I traveled to France, the Netherlands, Australia, and New Zealand, and also within the United States, like Florida, Virginia Beach, stuff like that. But I would definitely say that New Zealand was my favorite. That was the oldest trip that I went on, or like I was the oldest on that trip. And it was the most beautiful country I've ever seen. Like it was insane that we were in this beautiful place and I was competing and it's like, you get so used to where you grew up. And, you know, when I think of surf ski, I kind of think of like just doing it at Zuma Beach in my backyard and just to go to a different country and see people who are doing the same thing as you, like they share the same love for this sport as you, it's really special.
Just guessing here, but are folks there more into it? Is it more popular than it is here in the US?
Yeah, it's the most popular in Australia. They have like a big, it used to be called the Nutrigrain series. I think, I'm not sure if Nutrigrain still sponsors it, but when you think of Nutrigrain here, it's kind of like, what? Like that's a cereal or like a cereal bar. But there it's like, instead of, you know, like the Wheaties with all these Olympians on it, they have the Nutrigrain cereal box with these surf racing men and women. And instead of like, you know, surfing at the beach, they have these huge surf clubs right on the beach. And it's so amazing. I wish I could like show a picture, but I'll try to describe it the best I can. So the first time I saw a surf club was in Australia. I think I was 15 on this trip. Yeah. And basically we walk up and it's like a garage with like 100 boards, 100 surf skis. And that's kind of in the lower level. And then you walk upstairs and it's like this beautiful kind of casino restaurant thing. So it's just like you go work out and then you also have these social events and it's like their world kind of, if you're on the coast, your world kind of revolves around surf lifesaving. And I remember coming back from that trip. Two of my best friends were on that trip with me and we were like, we're going to build our own surf club in LA County. And we're going to call it like, I don't know, like the Three Blonde LA County Girl Surf Club. It was something like that. It was cute. But I remember I was like, oh my gosh, why don't we have that? Like, these huge social workout buildings. And I don't know if like the United States will ever get to that level, but that would be really cool.
One of our guests on the podcast just a couple of weeks ago, Jordan Lawley, who played basketball at UC San Diego, he also played basketball in New Zealand and said that was one of the most beautiful places he's ever been. Did you get to play tourist at all while you were there?
Yeah, I did actually. It was so beautiful. Like there were just where I was competing was the most beautiful part of New Zealand that I'd ever like imagined. And apparently it wasn't like the beautiful island. I can't remember which island I was on, but everyone there was like, oh, you think this is beautiful? Like you have to go see this other island. And I didn't get a chance to go, but I hope I get to go back one day. But yeah, we went to like the Maori, I think that's how you pronounce it. Like their native peoples, kind of where they used to live, and just got to see their culture and stuff like that. And it was really beautiful. And then we also went to, gosh, what do they call it? They were like not hot springs. It reminded me of like Yosemite with like
the geysers,
weird colored geysers and stuff like that. Yeah. And like weird colored ponds of water that were like steaming and stuff like that. I don't know why I'm not like hot pool. I don't know what they were.
Hot springs. That's a thing.
Is it hot? Yeah. I think it was hot springs. But yeah, it was just insane. The natural beauty of that place. And it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And everyone there was like, no, this isn't it. Like you're not even seeing all of it. And I was just, I can't imagine anything more beautiful.
That's stunning. Now that you've outgrown the junior championships, are there still places you want to go and compete as an adult?
Yeah. So actually one of my like biggest heartaches about COVID-19 and everything was I was selected to my first open team. And I was supposed to compete in Japan last June. And so that is something I was really looking forward to. I had like tried to be on that team when I was a little younger. I think I might've been like 17 or 18. And I applied as a youth member to try to make that team and I didn't. And then this past year, my sophomore year of college, one of my coaches called me and said, Holly, like you've made the open team. We're going to Japan in June. Can you do it? And I was like, oh my gosh, I finally did it. And I think that was in February of last year. So February, 2020. And then I remember as everything started shutting down, my parents were like, have you heard from like Coach Casey about anything? And I was like, no, maybe we'll still go. And then I never heard anything. And it was like May and I saw something on Facebook and that's how I found out that trip had been canceled. The competition was canceled. And I remember that was probably the most upset I had been in a while, just because it was something that I don't know. I thought it was like, maybe I'm just outgrowing the sport. Like maybe I was just, you know, this youth prodigy. And then I finally made an open team and then it was taken away. So that was really tough for me, but, I'm definitely not going to lose hope. Not this summer, obviously, but the summer before, I actually won my first open national championship, in a relay with two of my teammates, and it was a paddleboard relay. And I remember when they like we crossed the finish line, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, that was real. Like I won an open event. Like it wasn't just a little 13-year-old girl like paddling faster than the other 13-year-olds who couldn't make it out past the surf. And like that was legit. Like that was the first time I was like, okay, like I'm not done yet.
What a thrill. You mentioned, or you've said elsewhere, that you enjoy photography. How'd you get into that?
I think it's more of just like a hobby. I would say it's just being around the ocean and stuff like that all of the time. And all of my friends are around the ocean and my boyfriend is a really talented surfer. So I think I've just gotten into basically capturing those moments and like, I think it's just really special to capture a moment, look back on it with your friends. I'm definitely not like a pro or anything. I definitely do it in like whenever I'm just at the beach with my dad's camera. I think it's just something for fun.
You're majoring in communications. What do you want to do when you graduate?
So right now I would like to promote to be a permanent lifeguard and then maybe one day to be a captain. Because LA County, my lifeguard department is through the fire department, LA County Fire Department. We have a lot of promotional opportunities that would be similar to like a fireman's or firewoman's position, just like with like the rankings and everything like that. So I am in the process. I just passed my EMT class and now I just need to take my EMT exam. So I have a few more meetings with my EMT class to get me prepared for that. But basically after that, I am going to try to be an opener or a closer, which is someone who rides in the lifeguard truck at the beach, like shotgun to the permanent lifeguard. And I'm kind of there like learning all the tricks and stuff and using my EMT skills to deal with more serious medicals. And then following that, I hope to promote to a permanent lifeguard. And then there are different opportunities within like a permanent lifeguard position for like a public information officer or a PIO and stuff like that definitely interests me, but I don't really see myself ever getting too far away from the beach or like actually lifeguarding on the beach, because that is something I really love to do. And if I can get a great job in that, I don't know why I would walk away from it.
And you say LA County, just in that you work there now?
Yeah. So that's where I grew up doing junior lifeguards. And then I became a lifeguard there at 18, which is the youngest you can do it. And that's where I live up that way. So it's a summer job for right now for me, just because I'm in school. But just when I do want to pursue the promotional opportunities, it would be something I would be doing year round. I would work in like the training center and on special assignments and stuff like that during the year, just to get my name out there and put my foot in a bunch of different doors and show like the rest of the county who I am. And then that would make me a more valuable candidate to promote.
Well, you definitely have it all mapped out. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Holly Main, our guest on TritonCast. We are starting to run out of time, so let's play some quick picks, Holly. Let's start with an easy one. Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Does that mean you're not a morning person?
I think it depends. I would say I definitely am, just because like the conditions for the ocean are usually better in the morning, like less wind, that kind of stuff. And then obviously for water polo, we're getting up pretty early. But I think just because, I mean, the sun sets on our side of the coast, so it's easier. I think it's prettier to see like the actual sun on the ocean and not just kind of like the bouquet created from the sun on the East Coast coming over.
Well, that is a very meteorological answer. Pancakes or waffles?
Oh, shoot. Pancakes.
I mean, you're allowed to say both or French toast or whatever you want.
God, that's, ooh, I do love French. I'm going to go with French toast, actually.
What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
I can play the piano.
When did you learn that?
In like elementary school. I took lessons like all throughout elementary school and like into middle school. So basically like grew up taking lessons, and I used to perform at recitals and stuff, but I'm not as good anymore. I can like read sheet music and everything, and I have a few songs memorized, but I'm not like great, but I can play.
So you don't serenade your roommates with the piano daily now?
No, definitely not.
Do you have game day superstitions?
Not really. I would say I usually just have to be listening to music on the bus, and I never really take a nap before a game because I feel like I always wake up more tired.
What's your favorite type of music?
Pop or like alternative.
Do you have a least favorite type?
Not really. I am pretty open with music. I kind of enjoy all types of music, actually.
Favorite holiday?
Oh, that's a tough one. Either Thanksgiving or Christmas. Definitely this time of the year. And my birthday kind of lies. I just had it on, when was that? Friday, the 4th. But it's kind of like between the two. So I like from Thanksgiving to Christmas, just that whole block.
So that's like a, not a holiday, but a region, I guess.
Yeah.
And happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Do you write or journal?
Yeah, I was more into journaling when I was younger, but I definitely enjoy writing a lot. And especially just from like traveling and competitions and stuff. If something goes bad, I'm always quick to kind of like write it down, or like, I like to analyze things a lot. And like, I think writing helps me do that. And most of my classes for comm are writing and like essays and stuff like that. So I think it's something I've just grown to kind of enjoy.
First celebrity crush.
Zac Efron. Definitely like High School Musical era Zac Efron.
Love it. Dancing or singing?
Oh, that's probably dancing.
Are you good?
I used to sing. No, I wouldn't say I'm good. I'm not like a dancer or anything, but you know, when you're with your friends, it's fun. And like, I'm not a bad singer, but my sister's definitely a really good singer and I wish I had her voice, but.
You told us near the beginning that when you won that first junior championship and your dad took you for ice cream, what flavor did you get?
It was Cold Stone, and I got cake batter base with cookie dough mixed in. And that will always be my favorite. I love cookie dough anything.
Any kind of cookie dough or chocolate chip?
Chocolate chip cookie. Well, I mean, I will eat any cookie dough. Like sometimes I'll just make cookies to have the cookie dough. And that's something my whole family does. Like we love cookie dough.
Definitely respect that. Well, Holly, thanks so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a really fun time.
Wow, what an interesting conversation with Holly. And that life-saving sport, that's so fascinating. I knew basically nothing about that before this conversation. And it's just such an interesting sport. And one thing I found really striking was how popular it is down in like New Zealand and Australia and that area. Because being so close to the ocean, I would think that here it would be so much more popular.
Absolutely, Jenny. I wasn't familiar with it either until recently. And the fact that Holly has worked so hard and has entrenched herself in the LA County system to be able to be a lifeguard for the county, but also train at Zuma Beach, as she referenced, and make such an impact in this sport. And by the way, Jenny, that's now twice in what, three episodes that we've had beautiful New Zealand references. I think we need to take a field trip when we're allowed.
That sounds good to me. I'd love to go. Coming up on episode 26 of TritonCast, we chat with former Triton Scholar athlete Adam Bergasser. The national champion diver and seven-time All-American is now a physics professor right here at UC San Diego. You won't want to miss Adam's captivating story next week on TritonCast.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. We can be reached at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.